I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, we're going to hear from the Mocha Moms about the pros and cons of having family provide childcare. That's a little later. But first, we want to spend some time talking about issues in education. Around the country, most kids are back in school this week. And along with the new shoes and new lunchboxes come some old debates about the way schools work. Among them, why do bad schools seem so hard to fix? Why is there still an achievement gap between white and Asian kids and other minorities? And does it matter if mayors, rather than school boards, have authority over campuses? Michelle Rhee is on the front lines. She's the new chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s public schools. She was handpicked by Mayor Adrian Fenty in June. Before that, she created and ran a nonprofit designed to support new teachers and boost classroom performance. And she joins us now in our Washington studio. Michelle Rhee, welcome.
Thank you.
We revere teachers in this country as long as somebody else is doing it. So what made you want to be a teacher?
When I was in college, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, and I saw a PBS special on Teach for America, and I saw young people my age who were trying to change the world through education and was incredibly inspired by that, and joined Teach for America and was placed as a second and third grade teacher in Baltimore, Maryland, and really had an experience there that changed and shaped the rest of my career.
Did you think you'd be in education as a career, or was it one of those things you thought you'd do before you went to law school?
I was never encouraged to become a teacher. People always said you should become a doctor or a lawyer or a stockbroker, but I had always had that interest in kids. And so this was an opportunity in some ways to say, well, I'm not necessarily going to become a teacher, but if I join Teacher America, I can sort of get that exposure. But I never went back.
I've read interviews with you where you said your first year of teaching was actually a disaster.
It was a tough year. There are tremendous challenges in terms of discipline and resources and support.
Did you ever think of quitting?
I did. During the course of my first year, I thought, you know what, maybe these kids would be better off with even a long-term sub, because I didn't really feel like I was doing an effective job. But I think it was important that I hung in there.
Why?
Because by the end of the year, I could really see the changes in kids. You know, between my second and third year, I took a group of kids who were scoring at the bottom on nationally recognized standardized tests. And over the course of a two-year period, literally took the vast majority of them to the place that they were scoring at grade level or far above. And it was the same group of kids. You know, their circumstances didn't necessarily change. Their diet, their home life, their environment. But what changed was the teacher that was in front of them every single day and the classroom environment that I was able to create. And I just became convinced at that point that teacher quality was everything in terms of the academic achievement of the young kids in that community.
You grew up in this country, like a lot of the people that you're working with and for. And I'm just interested in why do you think you maybe did not absorb some of the messages that a lot of people have about African Americans and what they're capable of?
First, I grew up and was very privileged. But my father, he said, you know, you are not at the place that you are because you're particularly talented or smart or anything else. You're lucky to have been born into this family. As the same way that the kids that are in the poorer communities, it's luck. It's not that they're any less deserving, they're any less talented. It's because of the neighborhood that they happen to live in and where they happen to be born. So you're not so special. That was the message.
Yeah, don't get confused. You picked the right uterus,
exactly.
Baby.
Exactly. And then, you know, I think that my experience in Baltimore, which was the fact that when I went in there, people said, these kids can't achieve at the highest levels. They can't overcome all these environmental factors, et cetera. And I showed that it was absolutely possible for these kids to be performing at the highest levels, that their academic achievement had nothing to do with their ability and their potential and everything to do with the expectations that we had of them and the quality of education and instruction that they were getting. And if you provided that, then they could just blow things out of the water. So I saw it firsthand. When you see the fact that in pockets where people have prioritized putting resources and effort against making sure that these kids can achieve, you see the results accordingly, then you just have to know that with the rest of those kids, it's a matter of, does the public have the will to make this a priority?
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and it's back to school time, and we're talking with D.C. Public School Chancellor Michelle Rhee. I'm going to talk about No Child Left Behind mm-hmm. because that was President Bush's argument, part of his argument in advancing No Child Left Behind when he took office as president 6+ years ago, is to say that all schools need to be accountable for teaching all kids. One of the criticisms, of course, of No Child Left Behind is that some teachers and some parents are now saying that the focus now is teaching to pass these tests. What's your take on that?
I don't agree with that. These standardized tests test whether or not students have met the standards. And when we set standards that we want all kids to be able to sort of learn at these levels, then it's important to measure whether or not they're successfully sort of mastering those skills. And we've got to be able to do that in an objective way. I think the problem in the past with public education has been that for far too long, we have failed to deliver the quality of education that our students deserve, and that no one had ever been held accountable for that, that the only people that were suffering the ramifications of failing schools were the kids. And those days have to stop. We have to be able to create a system where the adults who are working every day are held accountable for the quality of education that we're providing to the students.
This may be a crazy question, and I hope it's not offensive, but it occurs to me, and I'm going to ask, is I wonder in some ways if you think you might be benefiting from a positive stereotype. You know, there are negative stereotypes mm-hmm. that, you know, black kids aren't interested in teaching. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's the positive stereotype, which is still a stereotype that Asian Americans have somehow figured out the trick of how to sort of master the educational system. And I just wonder if there's a stereotype involved that people say, well, if you believe in our kids and you're not African American, mm-hmm. then maybe there's something to it. If you have the golden key that unlocks the door to success, and if you believe in our kids, mm-hmm. then maybe
that's
we should believe in
that's
our kids.
That's the first time I've heard that one, because I think that most of what people's reaction to me being Korean American has been to date is that it's going to put me at a significant disadvantage, which I don't really think that it has outside of the first couple of days when people were talking about it a lot. Whether it puts me at an advantage, I think that's probably a stretch. I think that the mayor's choice of me was so unorthodox and so out of the ordinary. I mean, you could not pick someone who is less the profile that folks would expect.
37 years old, you've never run a large school system before, you're working in a nonprofit, which you developed.
I'm a Korean-American.
Korean-American, living across the country. And it's my understanding that when he first approached you, you said no.
Yes, that's correct.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that he saw something in me because he wanted somebody who knew public education, but who had time and time again sort of shown the ability to think outside the box and to break down barriers, and who wasn't afraid to take on challenges. We have a massive challenge here. If you look at what we're facing right now, and the achievement gap that we have in this city, it is unacceptable. For example, we just got our SAT scores and our AP scores for our students. And if you look at where our white students are performing as opposed to where our African-American students are performing, it is hundreds of points. I mean, we have a significant achievement gap in this city. And again, I believe that it shows that we are not providing our African-American students with the quality of education they deserve, because I know they can achieve at those levels if we're doing our job.
You know, I hear the passion. I hear the passion. I mean, it's almost, you know, evangelical. And, you know, you look around the city and you see, you know, parents turning up on Saturdays and neighbors turning up on Saturdays to help get the schools ready for the first day. And this was happening all over town. There were 6 school heads in 10 years, most of whom came in with passion, energy, and commitment. And I just wonder what's going to make you different. And something or other either got them chewed up and spit out, mm-hmm. or they decided that they couldn't take it. They couldn't take the bureaucracy. They couldn't take the battles with Congress. And I just wonder what makes you think that you're different.
I'm going to be different because I think my relentless focus on the kids, and I think one of the best things that I can do is to maintain my connection and my relationships with the ground level, with the schools. I went into a school yesterday, and I walked into the office because I wanted to let the principal know I was there, and I met this parent who literally, she just looked like her head was going to explode. She was so frustrated. So I said, you look like you're really frustrated. Tell me what's wrong. She said, I've been standing here for 2 hours. I have to get these forms filled out. I have to be able to go back to the housing department. I missed my appointment. I'm going to lose my housing. You don't understand. This is serious, and I can't get anyone to help me. And so I said, okay, turned to the administrative assistant there. I said, what are the forms? She said, well, we just need to fill these things out. I said, great. How long is that going to take? She said, just a couple of minutes. So I said, super. She's like, well, she hasn't been waiting there that long. And the mother walked out of the office and she was so frustrated. So I followed her out and she's like, no, you don't understand. People don't understand what I'm dealing with right now. So I walked her back in and I sort of helped her kind of get through the paperwork. Later on, I saw that she was carrying a couple of shirts, and I said, did you get all the uniforms you need? She said, no, because they don't have the right sizes. I'm not going to be able to get to the store. I said, I'm going to take care of it. I wrote down sort of what she needed. Last night, I went to her house, and I delivered the uniforms, and she said, oh, my gosh, people like you don't come here to my neighborhood, much less at 9 o'clock at night. This woman had a completely different demeanor. It was like the weight of the world had been taken off her shoulders because she was able to get the forms filled out, took care of her housing, had the uniforms. You know, her kids were all excited. And you can change people's hope and their everything when you show them that they matter and that the system or people in the system or the leadership of the system cares about what happens to individual parents and students. So I'm going to continue to do that, and I'm going to continue to let students and parents know that we are here in service of them. I can go up in my office and create all the kind of fancy policies I want. If we're not able to be out there in the community talking to people about what we're doing and making sure that it makes sense for them, then none of this is going to work.
Michelle Rhee is the chancellor of Washington, D.C.'s public schools. She joined us here in the Washington studio. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.